I'm Tenzina Vega, and we're back with The Takeaway. A record number of women ran for office in 2018, and experts say that trend is expected to continue in 2020. But for many of these candidates, paying for childcare is a major hurdle, and it can sometimes mean the difference between being able to run and having to call off a campaign.
When men run for office, no one questions them if they're a parent. But if you're a mom and you're running for office at any level of government, even at the local level, the first question you will be asked is, what will you do with your kids while you're campaigning?
That's Luba Gretchen Shirley. She's a former congressional candidate for New York's 2nd District and the founder of Vote Mama, a political action committee focused on electing Democratic mothers. And when she launched her congressional campaign in 2018, her children were 1 and 3 years old.
They were with me during the day, and then my mom, who's a public school teacher, would come home at 3:30 every day, and she would watch them then, and that's when I would start my work day.
At times, Luba says it was difficult to balance the responsibilities of childcare and running for Congress on Eastern Long Island, and for the first 6 months, she strapped her baby to her chest as she made the rounds at campaign events. In March 2018, Luba decided to petition the FEC to allow campaign money to help cover the cost of a babysitter. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton then sent a letter of support, as did 24 members of Congress.
I needed to put this request into the Federal Election Commission. And frankly, everybody told me I was crazy. They said, don't do this. It's a political suicide and you will get attacked for it. And I didn't have an option. There was no way I was going to be able to continue the campaign without that support.
But the FEC unanimously approved Luba's request in May 2018, making her the first woman to use campaign funds for childcare expenses. The ruling also meant that anyone running for federal office could do the same moving forward. Luba was able to hire a daytime babysitter for the rest of her 2018 campaign, though she ultimately lost the race to longtime Republican incumbent Peter King.
It literally made all the difference in the world. I was able to focus more. I was able to be at more events. I was able to do more call time. It enabled me to continue my campaign, and it changed the way that parents run for office in this country.
Well, at least on the national stage, because when it comes to running for state or local office, there's still no consensus on using campaign money to pay for childcare, and it looks very different from state to state. So for more on this, we're joined now by Jean Sinsdak, Associate Director of the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers University. Jean, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So childcare has become a bigger hurdle for people running for office recently. Is that just because there are more women running for office, or they're being more vocal about it?
I think they're being more vocal about it. I think the childcare issue has been a hurdle for candidates since the dawn of time. And what we're seeing now, though, is that, you know, this rise in record number of women running for office, more and more of them are saying, wait a minute, this has been a barrier for me and we should do something about it.
We've had many men run for office and we haven't really heard about this issue coming from them. Is that because the assumption is that women will be the people taking care of the children?
Oh, yeah. So women have disproportionately shouldered the burden for childcare responsibilities, and they still do. I mean, research still shows they're still doing twice as much childcare as men are. For women, it's a particularly burdensome issue that they're expected to culturally and have been the ones that have shouldered the burden. So it's really important for women candidates to have access to something that lightens that burden to actually make it possible for them to run for office.
Childcare, especially, I mean, I'm going to imagine across the country, but here in New York, it is not cheap. How does that factor in to creating this barrier for women in particular? And I'm sure that would extend to other barriers like socioeconomic status and race and other things.
Right. Yeah. Well, as we all know, childcare is enormously expensive and, you know, hard to find in this country. So it's something that we've grappled with in all areas of our lives here in the U.S. But, you know, as we're talking about candidates right now, it's just something that comes up again and again and again.
Jean, stick with us. We're going to have more on paying for childcare when running for office in a moment. This is The Takeaway. Jean, again, we heard just from Luba Gretchen Shirley earlier on, a former candidate for office, and the FEC now allows women running at the federal level to use campaign funds to cover childcare. What about at the local and state level?
Well, so this is what was interesting about it. And we started this national conversation. And I think after that FEC ruling in 2018, a number of people, you know, at the state and local level said, hey, wait a minute, this is really interesting. I should find out if I'm allowed to use my campaign funds for campaign related childcare. And so it sort of started a flood of women writing to their, you know, looking into the issue to see if it was even allowed in the first place. or writing into their election, local election commissions to find out if they could get permission. And so for those of us who were observing all this and trying to track it, it's been really interesting. What we found is it varies widely around the country. There are actually only 6 states that allow it legally. You know, they pass legislation that says it's an allowable expense for candidates. What's interesting is they've pretty much all been in the last few years that they've passed this legislation. So this national conversation has actually sparked policy outcomes.
Has this issue sort of cut across party lines?
It has cut across party lines, and interestingly also had a lot of bipartisan support. In Utah, it passed. It had a lot of Republican support in other states. New York State is another place that passed legislation recently, and, you know, a lot of Democratic support. But what we've seen is that it has support across the aisle. And so it's really something that is not related to partisan differences. You know, everyone needs childcare. So it really crosses across the aisle.
Are we seeing pushback? Are there any states or individuals who are saying, no, this is not the best way to use campaign funds?
Well, it was interesting what happened in Louisiana. A candidate for state office approached her elections board and asked if she could, you know, use her campaign funds for childcare, and they said no. And it actually was met with a tremendous public outcry, and they reversed their decision after that. Also in Tennessee, someone proposed a bill that would allow the practice, but it never made it out of committee, the elections committee in their legislature. And in both those cases, you know, men who were in the position to make decisions had said something along the lines of, you know, people should figure this out for themselves. This is a personal issue. But what they've seen, I think, is a lot of pushback on that. And a lot of that comes from how many women are running for office and saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't fair.
Are there any men that are taking advantage of this?
I'm sure that there are. And actually, that's the good thing about this, that if you're, you know, a working parent, you know, a man or a woman, this is a good thing for you. I know there are men in the past, as when we've gone through and looked at other states to see what's happening. There have been male candidates that have requested to use campaign funds for childcare and been approved for it. So it's not without precedent. And so that's a really important point, even though I think this will most immediately affect a lot of women. It's really great for male candidates who have young children as well.
You know, we're talking here about campaign funds being used for people who are running for office, which is a very small percentage of the population. Do you see this conversation finally extending itself to people who are not running for office, American citizens who need childcare support in some way, shape or form?
Well, absolutely. I think the most interesting thing to me about all of this is the start of this national conversation about this particular issue. As you said, it's a very small segment of the population, but it's the first time we've ever seen, you know, the center's almost 50 years old. And it's the first time any of us can remember such a conversation about this particular barrier for entry into politics. But you're also talking about the people who will be in office and making policy decisions, including childcare and, you know, other issues that affect families. So, you know, the fact that you're making it possible for more people who really relate to those issues to be in office and make those decisions, it's only going to help shape, you know, continue to help shape the national culture and the conversation around childcare and the burden for working families.
Jean Sinsdak is the Associate Director of the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers University. Jean, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.